die.
Elvis Presley, you know that. Capital Gold, Paul Coy's Drive Time, one of the greatest teen idols of all time, made his name with the Partridge Family, went on to sell millions of records worldwide, being mobbed everywhere he went. His autobiography is out now, which is called Could It Be Forever. You can see him live along with the Osmonds across the country next month. David Cassidy's here. How are you, David?
I'm actually quite well.
Blimey.
Great.
Where did you get the voice?
Can I say, it's just marvellous to be back here.
And the accent? Now, listen, that's Dick Van Dyke, if ever I've heard it.
Oh, that's pretty bad. I have so many voices and accents in my head. When I come over here, I'm not really sure if Dick Van Dyke had, without question, other than the last two sentences of mine,
yeah,
the worst Cockney accent that has ever been recorded.
I think you're probably right.
And I love the guy. He's a fantastic human being.
Is it because I love Dick Van Dyke, but he's never going to live that Cockney accent down, is he?
Oh, my Lord.
Did you know? Do you know him? Do you know Dick?
I know him, yes, of course. We were both... I was the vice president, and he was the president of the original Nick at Night and MTV Networks.
Yeah.
Started what is now called TV Land in America.
Uh-huh.
But Nick at Night is what it began at.
Sure.
Which is Nickelodeon all day for the kids.
Yeah.
And then at night, it became classic television.
Yeah.
Now, it became so popular that the first couple of years, Dick and his show and David and the Partridge Family were, I was the vice president and Dick was the president, which is absolutely right, by the way.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, his was one of the top three all-time half-hour shows, and it created a genre. So, anyway, did I mention that I'm going to be at Waterstones tomorrow?
You haven't mentioned that yet, but I know you're going to mention it a few times, so we'll get
No, I'm actually not. But
well,
I realized I'm talking about Dick Van Dyke and I was the vice president of Nick at Night for about 15 minutes, and Dick and I became friends because we met at a few of these corporate functions, and I was so tempted to say, right, Mikey O.
Yeah.
Or whatever
that. Are you, Mary Poppins?
Mary Poppins.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you didn't do that, did you? Because you know he would have punched you full in the face.
No,
you know
he would have said, that was good. That was just like my great Cockney accent. Anyway, he's a fantastic actor and a wonderful guy, and he really is a great human being. Anyway,
we need to talk about you.
I just got off an airplane.
You know, if Dick Van Dyke was here, I'd interview him about David Cassidy. I just think it's only a fair thing to do.
You know what he'd say?
Yeah.
Who?
I don't think so.
David, he's a nice guy, isn't he?
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. What is he doing these days?
Now, listen, London, the first time you came here, you didn't. Is it true that you really didn't expect, because there were thousands?
No, I had no idea.
So tell me about the first time you came, what you thought was going to happen, and when was that? About 70, 71?
72.
Right.
I got off an airplane. I had been working in the United States, of course, and it was all exploded there for me, and I had been touring for about a year or two.
Yeah.
I had had a number of number one records and albums, et cetera, et cetera. And it was mania all over America. So I took this time in for a hiatus, and I took 6 weeks off, which was the longest stint I took off in a 5-year period. But I was so burnt out. Cherish was number one in America, the album and everything else, and had gone platinum and all the rest of it. Anyway, I went to Europe for the first time in my life alone. I went to Italy and I started in Rome, took my cameras, got robbed, lost my passport, got everything stolen from me.
Oh dear.
Spent a week in hell.
Yeah.
And then drove my van. I had a I had a cassette player, which is the only thing you could have in those days, because I didn't speak Italian or any other language other than that American thing that I talk like. Anyway, I'm driving through Switzerland. I was gone for 6 weeks. I had been skiing. I learned to ski, and no one spoke English where I was. I was in a little town up in the little Alps of Italy called Asiago, which was a tiny little Italian town. No one spoke English.
All right.
So I get on a plane. I speak to my people, and they say, well, you know, we're going to London. You're going to be there, and you're going to try and crack the CD. You got your new solo album coming out here in America, in Britain.
Sure.
So get on a plane. I haven't had a photograph taken of me. I haven't seen a fan. No one has spoken English. No one's recognized me for 6 full weeks.
And this for you is a rarity at the time. Because you would get stopped everywhere.
And I have no idea that people know me here.
Sure.
The plane lands, and I see all these lights, and like blue lights that are spinning around. Yeah. Now, in America, we don't have blue lights.
Yeah.
But they're all like twirling around. I'm thinking, geez, what's going on here? And there are all these yellow lights, which I found was rather unique because our country, we don't have that.
You
I
don't
guess
have
that was for fog.
Yeah, yeah.
But understand, I'm the stupid American who gets off and they open the door. I'm sitting up in the first class section. I'm flying from my, I don't know where, Paris, I guess. Yeah. And I there are all these cops that are standing there and people like standing around.
Yeah.
And because I have been out of it now for 6 full weeks, remember in those days there were no phone calls. You had to go to an international phone call place. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk to anybody for 6 weeks. Mm. I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Get off the plane.
Mr. Cassidy.
Yes? I'm afraid we have a little bit of a crisis here.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I'm in like furry boots, jeans. I've got like an overcoat. I've got my skis with me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, what are you talking about? Get off the plane. And suddenly I hear this massive.
Good.
From
God.
The only about 2 octaves higher.
Yeah.
And there are thousands of kids at the airport who I guess get a glimpse of me somehow.
Yeah.
And I don't go through customs, none of that. We start running down the stairs. There was a stairwell, which was all steel.
So they're coming after you.
I guess. I mean, understand, I've never been to the airport before.
Yeah.
And it's only recently I've ever been through Heathrow, so it was quite an amazing thing. I got out on the field, and in those days, because there was no security.
Sure.
They had a limo open for me. There were cop cars all over.
Yeah.
And we start driving off the field, and I see as I turn around, there are young teenage girls running after the limo.
Good Lord.
And I'm hearing these screams, and I started laughing because it was so insane.
I could imagine.
No. For me, I'd experienced a lot of it in America.
Yeah.
But I had no idea it was happening. And I stayed at the Dorchester Hotel. I was there for a week. I did a lot of press. And by the end of the week, the first night they started, there were like probably 50, 100 singing out there in the part, you know, between the park
and then the
parking lot and the car park and everything. By the end of it, there were thousands of young fans who were singing like virtually all night long, like until midnight.
God, you can only imagine what their parents...
Well, for me, Americans, we sing okay, but we don't sing in groups okay.
Oh, we do that.
Yes,
here.
You do.
We love a bit of that.
We love that.
Listen, I've got to stop you there, Dave, if that's okay, because we've got to go to some music and we'll come back if
that's
okay.
Let's not do that. Let's keep talking.
We'll keep talking. We'll place it because we. It's called Could It Be Forever, the book, so I've got
it is,
choice.
And I'm going to be at Oxford Street tomorrow.
Waterstones.
Half past 12.
More with David Cassidy coming up. 5:26.
Could it be... Yeah.
Be forever, or is my mind just a rambling on? Well, I touched you once and I kissed you once, and now I feel like you're mine. Well, I feel like you're mine, and I see in your face I'm not wrong to have these feelings. Well, I feel like you're mine, I've never known a time before that's had so many meanings. Could it be forever? Just a waste of time. Well, I don't think so, cause you let me know. You make me feel like you're mine. Well, I feel like you're mine, and I can't remember when the feelings have been stronger. And all I know is I can't let go. I wanna be with you, I wanna be with you just a little while longer. If it is, then I'm moving on. Well, I feel like you're mine, and seeing your face, I'm not wrong to have these feelings. Well, I feel like you're mine, I've never known a time.
Be Forever, David Cassidy. The book, the autobiography, is out now. It's called Could It Be Forever. Did you have? Did you not sure what you're going to call it? Because you know, it's
well,
a song title.
It's very frankly, it's a very appropriate title for the book and for my life and career.
Sure.
It has gone on far, far, far longer than I expected, I suppose, or anybody else did. But I've been a very, very fortunate guy to have such an incredible fan base and people that have supported me. And I think I tried to be as honest and straightforward without being scathingly... you know, I dislike the obsession with our culture and celebrities and who they slept with and all the rest of that. So,
well, there is part of it. I mean, we've got to cut to news in just a sec. So,
you can
is that okay? So, I'll have to cut you off in the middle of what you're saying.
No.
There's part of the. It gives me the idea that you didn't really enjoy the ride as much as a lot of people think you would.
Really, you got that impression?
Yeah, I did.
You know, when you work 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you get a chance to really enjoy it? You tell me.
But do you have a choice? Is there no choice that you have to...
Not at that time, no.
Right.
And they own your name and likeness? No.
And at what point did you think, this is getting a bit... I mean, was it almost straight away as everything went boom?
No. It just... people following you home, people living in your air conditioning unit, obsessive people jumping over barbed wire, swimming in the Thames to get to you, and you live in a vacuum. And, you know, the more famous and more successful I became, my father became more and more resentful of me. And a lot of the book is about my own personal journey.
Sure.
And how difficult that was. And also a lot of the truth about me growing up and what it was like and all of the experiences that uniquely I had and I shared with John Lennon and a few other people that I got to know that had a very similar experience, maybe five people in the world because of the time.
Sure.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. I know we have to go to news, but we could talk some more about it.
We will. We'll talk more in just a second. More with David Cassidy coming up. The book is called Could It Be Forever. It's out now, I guess, isn't it? It's available
just out.
Now.
It's out today, I
Waterstones
think.
In London.
Tomorrow.
Oxford Street tomorrow.
12:30
p.m. David will be signing copies of the book.
I will. I'll be there.
Okay.
It's the first time I've done that in... Ooh, boy. It's going to be scary.
Writer's cramp after about 500 copies, do you think?
Well, probably,
yeah. You be careful there. You rest yourself. 5:31 more with David Cassidy coming up very shortly. Paul Coy's Drive Time. Top of the latest news, travel, sports. Let's work together. Canned Heat, Capital Gold, Paul Coy's Drive Time.
I love
5:35, isn't that great?
I saw that band live when I was 17 years old at a festival where I saw also, Canned Heat... Magic Carpet Ride, who else? Carlos Santana.
So you were, we're here with David Cassidy and the book I've been mentioning.
I saw Hendrix five times.
Could It Be Forever is out now.
Yes,
because when you started out, that was the stuff you were into. And you had a little problem, didn't you, with going to the Partridge Family because it really wasn't you.
Well, no, it wasn't me. It was created for a character that I played on television, and it was me playing that role. And the difficulty for me was I did the pilot when I was 19, and the previous few years I had been seeing, you know, I'd see like the Velvet Underground, I saw like Deep Purple, I saw a lot of very cutting edge acts, you know, I was into Marvin Gaye, B.B. King,
sure.
But they are now like legends, but in those days I went to the Whiskey and saw them.
Yeah.
The Doors, they played at my high school. And I'm not kidding.
Really?
Jim Densmore was in my class, who was John Densmore's younger brother.
Yeah.
And Jim and I were friends from the time I was in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, Jim got John and his band to come over and play at the high school. The Buffalo Springfield play my high school.
You're kidding
me. I'm not lying. I swear to God.
Can you imagine?
No. And what people don't understand is it was so innocent in those days. And this is pre-Woodstock.
Yeah.
Okay? That was like 69. We're talking 66, 65, 66, 67.
Yeah.
When they hadn't cracked it yet. So I would go up on the strip every week with my friends from the time we could drive. And 66, 67, every weekend, And you would go to, there were so many clubs, the Kaleidoscope. I saw so many amazing acts. I saw Marvin Gaye. I saw Wilson Pickett.
But were you having to say to people, did you find that you would say, well, this isn't, you know, into this?
The last year of my high school year, when I was 17, I had started working with the LA Theater Company. I always played in garage bands and played rock and roll, and I played guitar my whole, from the time the Beatles broke and I saw them on the Ed Sullivan Show, I was 13 years old. All during my teenage years, I played guitar. And I played in bands, I played the drums, I was always the singer, and, you know, from the time I was a little boy, I was a singer in the choir, and, you know, everybody, I had the voice, so... But I wasn't pursuing that as a career, and had I not landed the job of the Partridge Family, I never would have become a recording artist. I probably never would have become a songwriter. I probably never would have had the opportunity to sit here on your show at 20 to 6.
We would have had you in anyway.
No, I don't think so.
Even if you weren't in the Partridge Family,
I would have had you in.
You'd not had any hits,
understand,
I still would have had you in.
Had I not gotten that role in that and played that character,
yeah,
where he was the lead singer and the guitar player in the show,
yeah,
and I had to audition after I landed the part as an actor. They didn't even ask me if I sang.
Sure.
Although during my what we actually did was a film screen test.
Yeah.
There was a Stratocaster there that had been left around from the Monkees.
Yeah.
And they had actually a live amp.
Yeah.
And I played a little Voodoo Child Slight Return.
There you go.
But I had no idea at the time what the music was going to be like because we were doing screen tests.
Sure.
There wasn't any music. So I'm thinking it's going to be sort of like this cutting edge, you know, rock and roll Voodoo Child. Yeah. And that's time for me to fly away. You know? Come on down and meet everybody. A little different. Just a wee bit.
So Jimi Hendrix was never going to play Danny Bonaducci's part there. It was never going to happen.
I would have been blessed
if it had been
Jimi Hendrix instead of Danny Bonaducci.
We have just scratched the surface. And
yes,
congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Because I'm reading it on the train, as I've mentioned, every day now for the past 2 weeks.
God bless
people
you.
Are looking over my shoulder. I'm telling them stories. And it's called Could It Be Forever? David Cassidy, Oxford Street tomorrow.
Tomorrow. 12:30.
Half past 12. You'll be down there signing the book, so go down and see David.
I will be.
Listen, sir, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
You're
it's been great
welcome.
Talking to you, and I look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you, sir.
See you tomorrow.
David Cassidy.